Let's see what we can do. Okay, so the things that we've so far put on our table, as far as the sources that you've seen a little bit, and as far as some of the topics that we started talking about, have a lot to do with the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai components of Sukkah, which are definitely challenging. And what we're going to try to do is try to get the basics down and also see if we can make it understandable to ourselves and make it comprehensible and relatable, even though we don't necessarily know how and why the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai's work. But we can get a certain type of conceptual understanding, which may not be the only way to see it, but also helps it make it a little bit more manageable for us. So that's what I'd like to try to do over the time that we're talking about these things. And hopefully it should be something we can come to appreciate. So the subjects that we have gotten a little bit of our feet wet with, a little bit of an exposure to, have to do with the topics of good asik, of counting a wall as going up, and you've seen a little bit about dofen akuma, about whether we view a ceiling as bent, and what exactly that would mean, and also the question of labud, right? The idea that you can see spaces as filled in. So let's pick up from where we left off last week about this issue. So we talked about the question of whether good asik, does it exist by sukkah or not? Right? We know that it exists in Hilchos Shabbos. We're not sure whether it exists in sukkah. The Gemara in Maseches Sukkah mentions it. But does that necessarily mean that it's something which applies within sukkah? So we had two test cases, right? What were the two test cases? And we wanted to know, essentially, what happens if you have a sukkah that is too high and you want to adjust the space. And you try to do that by building a pillar inside the sukkah. And that pillar, you'll sit on top of that. So can we give you walls from the side of the pillar? And what was the din there? So the Gemara says, it's a problem, right? It was a discussion back and forth. But the conclusion was that even if it was workable when it comes to Shabbos for creating Rosh HaSayachid, for a sukkah it's a problem. What was the bottom line there? Because it doesn't have mechitzas nikaros. So we discussed the question of, is that, what do we do with that conclusion, mechitzas nikaros? Is that an issue for sukkah specifically as opposed to Shabbos? That sukkah needs recognizable walls, and that flows from our whole description of sukkah as a dirah, as opposed to just delineating an independent territory? Or is this something which maybe is an issue with good asik in general, good achis in general, asik going up, asik going down, good asik in general, that you're only going to have good asik if you have walls? Aye, but doesn't good asik apply, we know, in Hilchos Shabbos? So we saw that it was a little bit of a machlokas, actually, because yes, you could create a Rosh HaSayachid that way, but maybe it doesn't have all the properties of Rosh HaSayachid, such as the idea of Rosh HaSayachid Olu Rakia, the idea that Rosh HaSayachid goes on forever. Maybe that doesn't apply when you don't have walls. Okay, so far so good? This is basically a recap from what we spoke about last time. Everybody on the same page? Everybody in the same color? So we don't know how to settle that point, whether the Gemara is making the point that it's about mechitzos nikaros as the bottom line. Is that telling us something about sukkah, or is that telling us something about good achas? And then we also have the case where if a person puts four pillars in the corner of his sukkah top, or ceiling of his rooftop, and then wants to make a sukkah out of that, can we use those walls to go up? There you have walls, but they're not at all covering the sukkah territory. So that was machlokas. The Gemara says no good, but maybe it's no good only when it's in the middle. But if it's on the ends, maybe it is good. So that was machlokas, and it was machlokas Rishonim, and today is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So it left us with a question: is there use of the concept of good asik in the context of sukkah? So we were trying to figure out, well, wait a minute. if there's no good asik in sukkah, how come we do know that you can have walls that don't go all the way up to the top? Is that one of the expressions people use to insult somebody? He's got sukkah walls that don't reach all the way to the top, something like that. Sounds like an insult. So if you have walls that don't reach the staff, still good. So how does that work? If we're not sure if good achas works, how does that work? So we mentioned the stipler had two approaches. Anyone help me out with those two approaches? How could you possibly understand how the walls work in a sukkah if they don't have to reach the top? So one possibility is that you could say, no, we have good achas by sukkah. We didn't say we don't. But it needs certain details to work. And that's what the Mechitzos Nikaros point is saying. That in the examples that we have, you don't have any walls. Either you have the sides of a pillar, or you have walls that aren't covering this territory at all. So then you can't have good achas, maybe not even in Hilchos Shabbos. But if you have walls, then those walls could be seen as going up. So yes, good achas does apply to sukkah under the right circumstances, according to that explanation. Or you could say, no, it's not good achas coming in here. You don't need good achas. Whoever said that walls have to reach the staff? Maybe there's no such rule. Maybe you could have sukkah walls that don't reach the staff. And therefore, this works without any need for any kind of mechanism. Now, just to pause, and again, I think it's useful for us, even if it's artificial. I said, like, if you give hesberim and how this works, I think is beneficial for us, even if we're not sure it's the only way to see it, but it helps make the picture a little bit more concrete in our minds. So we could say simply that a sukkah doesn't actually have to be a barrier. It just has to symbolize a resonance, and in this case, a temporary resonance. So the same way you could have all kinds of gaps, so too your walls don't have to reach the top. That delineates an area, and the fact that somebody could lob snowballs in, or worse, doesn't change the fact that you have still made an area that constitutes a sukkah. So maybe that's it. No fancy magic here, just walls don't have to reach the top. Okay, so far so good? Happy to explain as many times as necessary. So if anybody has any questions, please don't hold back. Alright, so now let's say, how would that affect things? So why do we care? Okay, so one way or another we know this sukkah works. So why do we care? So we care for a couple of reasons. One is because what if the situation gets a little complicated? What's going to be the rule then? And also it helps us to know, are we using a certain principle, are we not using a certain principle, so that we can know how to apply it from one case to the next. So here, the stipler says, I'll give you a nafkamina. What about a situation where the walls don't go all the way to the top, and the schach doesn't go all the way to the end? Right? We drew a picture of this on the board last time. So does that work? So why shouldn't it work? Right, does anybody want to help me out here? Yes?
The two dinim work, or do they contradict each other?
Okay, so what are the two dinim here? So
good asik and lovud.
Oh, so maybe lovud, but maybe this really seems to be dofen akuma. Right? So we have a curved ceiling.
Right? Does invalid schach also mean no schach?
Oh, so that's also a question. Right? What's the impact of the invalid schach? But here, what we have is the empty schach over there, right? Because it could be more than three tefachim. Right? It could go up to four amos, right? And still be dofen akuma. So let's say you have two amos of space. So those two amos of space We could say Dofen Akuma, or Dofen Akuma means we view everything as, it sounds like it means we view everything as a curved wall. So if you have a curved wall over there, so then that's okay. But can it also mean that half the wall can be missing, or part of the wall can be missing? So can you combine those two ideas together? So if you say the walls don't have to reach the top in the first place, maybe it doesn't matter. Because then you're only using the principle of Dofen Akum. But if you say that the walls are considered as if they hit the top because of Gurachis, so now I have two dinim, like you mentioned, two Halach Lamoshe Misinai's converging. So can they converge? Maybe yes, maybe no. So the Shulchan Aruch allows this. The Shulchan Aruch allows the situation where the walls don't go to the top and the schach doesn't meet the end. And the question is, why? So is some understand, yeah, this is an example of utilizing two Halach Lamoshe Misinai. And some will say, I'm trying to keep things simple without mentioning names of some of the Achronim who get involved in this discussion. There are some beautiful Svarim which have some pretty thorough discussions of different views on this point. We'll try to keep it simple. So either you say, okay, no problem, let's combine the two ideas, Gurachis and Dofen Akuma, or we'll say, no, you can't do that. So let's try to think through the reasons why can't you do that. Yes, David.
Sorry, was that like a question?
Yeah, definitely kind of.
The wall doesn't exist, so then how can you measure from the wall, right?
That's okay.
If it's like the wall is there, but the wall's not actually there.
So, in other words, this idea that we can accept the concept of a bent wall, so maybe there's limits to that. Okay, I can have a bent wall, but then I got to have a wall. And so, can I say two things at once? Can I say that it's a bent wall and it's not even there? Or a good portion of it is not even there? So, if that's the objection, then maybe the objection is not about combining Halach L'Moshe Misinai. You can combine Halach L'Moshe Misinai if they make sense together. But here, this is going to strain our credibility too much. This is going to strain the possibilities too much to say that they're both going out at the same time. Now the truth is, if that bothers you, then maybe you could say it should bother you even if you're not using Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Let's just say there's no Halach L'Moshe Misinai here, but walls don't have to reach the ceiling. So, okay, the walls don't have to reach the schach. But isn't it still strange to say Dofen Akuma when then it's not a Dofen Akuma, it's not a bent wall? It seems like in order to say Dofen Akuma, you might need to have an actual continuity of material curving over. So to say that you don't have to have anything on both sides going up and going across, seems like it's already a shtickle, a chiddush. What may also be a question, what other possible flaws might there be in combining the two? Or what other limits might there be in this idea of Trei Hilchasa? Yes, sir.
I've seen like some kulas, so maybe you can't,
there's
principle that you can't add too many kulas because it's not that one.
Oh. Anymore. Right, so the question whether you want to cool it or some kind of I'm looking for a word that's a little better than kula for our purposes, because kulas per se shouldn't necessarily bother us, right? Kala Torah Kula. We find kulas all over the place. You know, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that if you look carefully enough, you can always find the leniency. The kula ba. Right? So if you look hard enough, you'll find the kula. So we're not per se afraid of kulas, but it seems like there's something, it's valuable to try to sharpen this a little bit. That maybe we can accept to a certain degree a sukkah that's made out of non-existent space. But there's a limit to how much non-existent space we can have. So, you know, this gets into our discussion of three walls and four walls, et cetera, et cetera, that maybe there are restrictions on how much we can be filling in absent space. So here also, there is also a suggestion that if I want to combine two of these techniques, maybe it's one thing if there's one issue with the schach and one issue with the walls. Okay, I could have a sukkah where my walls rely on halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai and my schach relies on halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. But to have both in one, let's say the wall rely on both dofen akuma and good achis, maybe that's a problem. So maybe, for example, I could have lovud by the schach and good achis, but to have good achis and dofen akuma, that might be an issue. So we find all of these possibilities. Okay, so with that, so now let's try to talk a little bit about lubud. Right, so we know that lubud seems to exist in general as a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and we know that we find it by sukkah too. Or it seems to be that we find it by sukkah too. So one question we could ask is if there is such a din as lubud when it comes to a sukkah, so why is it that when we have the case of, right, Tosfos asks, what does Tosfos ask about the existence of lubud? Somebody want to help me out? Question about the pas? Anyone recall? Right, Tosfos raises the question that if it's enough that you can have spaces of less than 3 tefachim and they can be filled in. And it's an interesting question. We'll get to this a little bit also. Does that mean they filled in with space or they can be filled in with non-space? Which may also make a difference. So how come we saw that, let's say you have a sukkah that has two walls parallel to each other. And you can theoretically create a third wall with a pass, right, with a board. It has a width of 4. So Tosfos asks, why do we need to do that? Why don't we just take a board and break it up and have less than 3 tefachim of space in between? It won't have to have 4 across. And you can have just placement that's going straight up, but within 3 tefachim from the wall, it should count. Right? You saw the Tosfos on the list, right? It's Tosfos on Tetzayin and Beis. I'm trying to keep my Marmakomos list here close so I remember what I gave you. But remember this Tosfos, Tetzayin and Beis? The last Tosfos on the page. Okay, did you see this one? Tosfos asked the question. It's the last line in Tezayin Beis. V'tei malamali pas arba. Why do I need a pas that's 4? Yasa pas shnei tefachim. Let's just have it be 2 tefachim wide. V'yamidenu samach l'dofen, and we'll put it next to the wall. V'yarchik shlosha tefachim pachas mashu. And make sure to keep a space of no more than 3 tefachim. So that's 3 tefachim or less than a mashu. V'yamid pas echad shel shnei tefachim. Take another 2 tefachim, umashu. Same story, the kavasi. And have that. Right, so that's Tosfos' question. So why can't you do that? So what's Tosfos' answer? So Tosfos, first of all, seems to reject one answer and give a different answer. So just to highlight the important words of the Tosfos, you guys saw this Tosfos? I think this was on the list from the beginning. And you saw this Tosfos? Yes? No? People? Okay, so, yes, Jed?
Why is it a better suggestion than the Pasukah? Why is that better?
It's just another option. You know, why can't we use Lubbet to fill in the space? Why does it have to be a certain amount of space?
Is it because does it have more space?
It'll add up to
this.
Yeah, it'll add up to the same amount of wood, it seems. All right, so to highlight some of the key lines in Tosfos. So the middle line in Tosfos where there's an answer seems to be rejected. Just pick up that line. Ve'ein shayach l'chalei klal ben sukkah shel gimel tfonos l'sukkah shel arba. Right? Don't tell me the answer is that, well, it depends whether you have three walls or four walls. That if you have three walls, then you can't do this. But if you have four walls, okay, then you could do that. So the last line in Tosfos is, to quote a mission in Erevin, Shum dam rinim of sof parakamet erevin tazayin v'beiz dechol mechitza she'ena shel shesiv arev. What does that mean? Shesiv arev is important terminology here. Yes. So in English they call it the warp and the woof. Exactly. This is only going to be value if you happen to be a weaver. But this is it. Yes. Or those actually sounds like good names for. They sound like good names also for twin dogs.
Yeah.
But if you're a weaver, this is very common language. But this is actually, this concept, Shesi and Arev, comes up a lot in halacha. So it's important to know because it comes up in garment-related halachas, it comes up in malachas of Shabbos, and it comes up in sukkah, it comes up in other usages. Actually, in some of the more recent halachic literature, believe it or not, it is used to refer to Avodah Zarah. It's used to refer to a tzelem, to a cross. Because the idea of Shesi V'Arev is Shesi means going up, right? It is vertical, and Arev means going across, horizontal. So a cross is made up of both. So some of the halakhic literature about the status of what we call a tzelem sometimes, a cross, they refer to it as the Shesi V'Arev, up and across. So the Mishnah in Erevin is actually in Machlokas in the Mishnah exactly how this plays out, but it seems like a wall has to have coverage in both directions. Meaning that in order to be a wall, to a certain extent, there has to be a real wall going across and going up. You can't like just have one line without real substance and say, well, it goes all the way up, there isn't really any substance going across. That's fine. Apparently that's not fine. Apparently we need to have, in some sense of the word, a wall going all the way up and going across. So what does Tosfos seem to be saying? Right, that if you're going to just have these two boards going on either side, you don't really have a wall across. You don't really have a horizontal wall at all. All you have is a vertical wall. And a vertical wall, that's not enough. A pass, that's an actual integrated board, so that'll count as a wall. But to say, okay, let's just take these pieces of wood this way, that's not going to count as a, it's not going to count as a wall horizontally. And if it's not a wall horizontally, that's a problem. Okay, so far so good. Shebadiah?
What is
Shebadiah?
How long exactly does the board have to be in order for it to be considered?
Okay, right, so that's a fair question. But here, essentially, you don't have anything that's actually going across, right? You're just using lubbets to jump it across.
The
pasarba, that we see from the whole discussion of tefach, right, that the pasarba, that's considered to be a wall. Right, so if that's a wall, fine. But if we're saying, forget using this as a wall, but let's have lubbets count the space in the middle, So lubbets, that's not enough because you don't have a horizontal wall. That's the way the Maharsha understands Tosfos. All right, because the last line of Tosfos is not 100% clear. What's the last line of Tosfos? Quoting the Gemara Mishnah Erevin, the Chol Mechitza She'ein El Shol Shesi V'Arev Eina Mechitza. If it's not both, it's not a Mechitza. V'mhayu Shnei Pasin She'ein Kolechad Arba Havi Lek Mechitza Shol Shesi. So all you'll have is a vertical wall, no horizontal wall. So the Maharsha understands that this quote from the Mishnah in Erevin is actually a machlokus about whether you have to have it in both directions. But from Maskana, you have to have a horizontal wall. You have to have Arif. So if that's the case, you don't have a horizontal wall in this picture. You have two separate pieces. That's essentially the part to focus on. You have two separate pieces, and we need to have at least one complete piece to have a wall going across. And to say you can have two separate pieces and have that count, that's not enough. Okay, so far so good. Now the Magen Avraham, you see the Magen Avraham? I put that on the list, I think, right? Magen Avraham doesn't understand Tosfos the same way. And the Magen Avraham says that actually the rejected answer in Tosfos, that actually becomes the accepted answer in Tosfos once you say this. That first Tosfos said, oh, there's no reason whatsoever to distinguish between three walls and four walls. So don't even think about that. But then, in the end, Tosfos says this issue about vertical and horizontal. So says the Magen Avraham, that's actually what's going on. That really, lahalacha, it does matter whether you have three walls or four walls. And that's really the answer. That in this situation, you're only going to, if you only have three walls and one of them is like that, that can't count as a wall. But if you have three good walls, then fine, you can have a fourth wall that works like that. So what do I need the halacha of Lubbock for? I need it for the third wall, if it comes up. Okay? And Mishnah Berurah accepts this position of the Magen Avraham, which again I think you saw a little bit. Okay. So far so good? Any issues? And there's a lot more to say about all these topics. I just want to kind of get these issues on the table. So let's try to think about this. So if you say, like the Maharsha understood, that you have to have walls going across and not just walls going up. So can we conceptualize that a little bit? Can we understand that in a way that makes sense for us, just in terms of the conception of a sukkah? So perhaps it has a little bit to do with just how we visualize a wall. Right? A wall you see as something that goes across, something that gets in your way. And so even if a wall was 1 foot high, okay, we could see on some level how that's a wall, that you'll trip over if you try to cross it. But if you have to just see it as something going straight up, without any space going across, so then that becomes a little harder to conceptualize, Sammy?
So haven't we been analyzing, like, issues with walls, but also going up, down, or down, up, like, all of a sudden,
trying to
do it down,
side to side? So you see, it's both, right? Which we understand, you know, why should we only be interested in one dimension? So we need to have some kind of a concept of going up. How much of it, that's what we're drawing in Gedachas. And apparently also it needs to, for it to be a wall in the first place. And so then it has to at least go across. Which is also, just to zero on your question a little bit more, the whole concept of Gedachas tells us that the wall can stop at a certain point without going all the way up. Right? And so essentially, we don't need a complete vertical wall. But we do seem to need some kind of a complete horizontal wall. Which does not mean you can't have Lubbock. You can have Lubbock, that could be considered spaces. But together with Lubbock, we need to have at least a substantial wall across. Maybe more so than we need to have it horizontal, which is essentially what you're asking about. I was more so we need to have it vertical, which is what they ask about, that it doesn't necessarily have to go all the way up. All right. So far, what have we introduced into the conversation? So we've introduced Gedachas, we've introduced Labud, and a little bit about Dofen Akuma. Okay, so far so good. Everybody with us? All right. So now, let's try to talk a little bit more about Dofen Akuma, because it has a lot of practical implications for us. And one of the major areas where this comes up is the question of if you have awnings and trees and things like that on top of your sukkah. So how does that impact things? Well, we know that we can't have a sukkah under a tree. So what exactly are the implications? what kind of trees are we talking about? What does under mean? And here as well, if this ends up disqualifying a part of our schach, so how much disqualification can we handle? So where does dofen akuma and related concepts, where does that play a role? Okay, so what do we know about this? All right, so what does the Mishnah tell us? What does Gemara tell us regarding a situation? Let's start with the Mishnah, right? Tesim beis, right? Ha'osa sukaso tachas ha'ilon kilu aso b'soch habayis. And if you have a sukkah that's under a tree, so then you might as well have it in the house. What's the difference? How's it any better? So the rest of the Mishnah talks about something else. Go to the Gemara. Amarava lo shanu ela bi'ilon she'selso merubi mechamoso. We're only talking about a situation where you have the tree and the tzel is more than the chamo. Aval chamoso merubi mechamoso k'sheva. But if the tree doesn't have such an impact, so then that's okay. So mimai, how do I know that? Miksani k'ilo asa b'sol chabayis. So the Mishnah has that line, like you made inside the house. Lama v'misni k'ilo asa b'sol chabayis. Listen to psula. Why doesn't it just say it's no good? El v'hakamash malon. So the message seems to be, the ilon dumi the bayis. The ilon is like a house. So ma bayis sell some room mechamaso. So just like when you have a house, the story is more tzel than sun. So af ilon is defined by tzel some room mechamaso. So all right, fine. So the chamas and rum itself, so am I heavy? So what if it's the other way around then? What if it's got more sunlight? So all right, but isn't that still a problem? Because ham kamit starif schach pasul v'hadai schach kasher. But now you have schach pasul that is going to be, i.e., the tree, right? Why is that schach pasul? Because it's luchaber, right? It's attached. So isn't that a problem? So Amr of Papa b'shachavtan. Well, what if you tie it in together? See b'shachavtan, so ma'ilam emra. So yeah, so then that for sure should be good because then you're making it part of your staff. Lo ma'ar teima nigzo heicha d'chavtan at heicha d'lo chavtan. Maybe we should make it there. Kamash when to go to Zvina. Fine. I just read a little further. So hanami tenu hidlo alayas sagafir v'yasad las v'yasakisam v'sicha v'rabam sula. We mixed in all these other aspects, schach pasul, so it's no good. But if you have more schach, or you cut them off, so then it's sheiros. What's the story? If you're not tying it up, so what about the problem of bringing schach pasul and schach kasher? Elalav kisha chavtan. It must be when we did all tie it together. Vishmamina delagers rina. We see there's no gzera. Ma v'tem. You could have thought had a new b'diavet. Well, chachilu lo. Kamash v'nei it's only good b'diavet. We see no that it's true l'chachilu also. Okay, so in that situation, what is Tosfos' comment? Right, so saw Tosfos. Right, so what does Tosfos add? Tosfos adds what seems to be a pretty big kula. Right, what does Tosfos say? Zvil. Want to add what Tosfos says?
That you didn't. You only had Salsam so the addition of the chubar pasul.
Right. In other words, you're basically relying on the tree.
Yeah.
Right. It's a big kula. Right. It seems because Tosfos is saying the problem with the tree is that you need the tree and the tree can't help you. Right. Which is not how we normally relate to these things. We relate to the tree as causing a problem independently. Which is something we'll have to talk about. But Tosfos says they were talking about a situation where the tree is needed to provide the tzel to make the ratio enough. But if you have enough schach, the tree is not going to be a problem. Now it seems like Misvara, that still, that can't be the whole story. Right? It has to be that the tree by itself would not be enough to totally overwhelm the sukkah. Because if it is, let's say you have this huge tree on top that's providing all of its own shade, even if your schach also provides its own shade, then what's the difference between that and inside a house? Right, which is the language of the Mishnah again. So how does it help to, if I don't need to rely on this on the tree for schach, But if the tree is so big that it overrides, it overwhelms everything already, so it's like a roof. So why is that any better? Now, nonetheless, we find that Tosus must see something here that's working, because Tosus uses this to explain that it's theoretically possible to spread a sheet over the top and have that still work. Right, because this is a major issue when it comes to sukkah. Sometimes people are worried about insects, or they're worried about something else, and that becomes a big concern. Can you spread a sheet, can you spread a cloth across the top of the sukkah? So Tosu says, based on this idea that you have, that if your schach is enough without it, so then just like the tree is not going to be a problem, the cloth is also not going to be a problem. So that's something we have to figure out. Just what exactly is Tosfos' yisod? What do you think about that? So what does Tosfos think? So then if you have, could you have a full tree totally overwhelming your sukkah as long as you have kasher schach? Right. So then where's Tosfos' limit? Right, that becomes something that we'll have to figure out. We'll have to try to see if we can interpret that a little more. All right, so that's what we'll do with, I guess, in terms of time. I'll lay out a few more details, and then tomorrow we'll try to see if we can wrap this up and then put it all together. But that's one question we need to figure out. So Tosfos' position here is interesting. Now, the Bach, if you saw the Bach comments in the Tur, right? The Tur's understanding of Tosfos is that the tree has to be mostly open, right? Like we just said. But nonetheless, the Tur does accept this idea that you can have the cloth spread out. So how could you explain, how could you say the cloth is different from a huge tree? And if a huge tree would be a problem, right, we know that one way or another, we'll have to figure out how Tosfos works with it, but we know that you can't have the huge tree. So what's the difference between a huge tree and a cloth? Right, if you saw the Bach has a suggestion, but you could try to come up with one on your own. What's the difference? Why is a cloth better than a tree? Sammy?
Yeah, I think we alluded to it. I think it was supposed to sign or exactly. I know that, like, there's a scenario, let's say, where you'll have the leaves in a tree that would look more possible than the stock overall, except for the fact that it's so mixed in.
Yeah.
Like regular stock, so therefore it's indistinguishable, and you might, you know, the
sheet, the
cloth, whatever, it's very easy to distinguish
the
sheet from kosher stuff. So it makes it worse.
Right. Right? Shouldn't that make it worse? Right. We need, so that would make it worse. We need to go in the other direction.
Do you know what the box says?
Well, it says something.
It says that you need the tarp to prevent your sukkah from becoming possible.
Okay, so therefore what?
Helps us.
Okay. Now that's the key part.
Yeah.
Right? So the problem is to take, just to clarify, to say that, to use what we talked about the last time and that our first reference to Akamara about Bittel, right? Bittel Mishon Bittel Barov, that's going to be a problem because, first of all, who knows if it's even rove, but assuming that you want to work off that, so that normally doesn't work when part of it is nicker, right? When part of it, the part that you want to cancel out, is identifiable. So that's why the Gemara has to say that you tied them in together. So that's not going to help us. But what does help us is purpose. Now, what does this cloth do? The cloth is there to help the sukkah. That might be the key difference, as the Bach says. A tree, that's got nothing to do with your sukkah. So that's going to be a problem. Even though it's kind of playing it from both sides, because if you need it to be to help your sukkah, it's a problem because it's puzzle. Right, but if you hear, that's what saves the cloth, that the cloth, because it is functional for the sukkah, so then it becomes bottle to the schach, it's ki'ilu, it doesn't exist. Now, that's the Bach's understanding, we don't really see that in Tosus. It's a problem to say that Tosus is saying that it's harder, but that's the Bach's of Tosus. We still have to figure out a little bit because Tosus still seems to leave us with that question of how do we understand the tree. Hi.
I think he said also that it could be functional for the sun as well, like protecting the sun.
Yeah, but the right, but the sun is.
That's more.
It's the sun how it affects our sukkah.
That would be like the tree on our sukkah.
Ah, you're saying that that becomes. That's interesting. Saying if you're trying, if you're worried about bugs. Right, is that the chiddush thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you're worried about bugs, okay, so whoever said that sukkahs have to protect you from bugs, they don't. So therefore, if you can make something to protect you from the bugs, okay, that's helping the sukkah, that makes it okay. But if you're going to say that it's there to protect you from the sun, so then what's shade called? Shade is protect you from the sun. So the whole nature of the sukkah is that I should have enough shade by the sukkah itself. Okay, so that's an interesting point. So let's see if we can further sharpen that distinction. Okay, so as you mentioned, yes, sir?
Why is the nature of matter, you might be bothered by a little bit of sun, so you put the thing under it. It's not about whether you're fully shaded.
I mean, even if I was 55% shaded, maybe the 45% sun... Right, so that's also something I have to figure out. I see what Israel is saying is that the very nature of sun protection is called shade. Right, basically that if you don't want sun, you want shade. And therefore, if this is there to stop you from the sun, it's playing a shade role, and you can't have a sukkah that's not doing the job of providing sun protection. Well, if it's providing bug protection, okay, so it could be a sukkah that doesn't protect you from the bugs, and the cloth could be there to protect you from the bugs, and it's buckled to the sky. Okay, so that's something we'll have to also try to figure out a little bit. But in any event, Tosfos' position that we're only concerned about using it for part of your schach, and if you have enough schach, it's not a problem, that's a pretty big cool. So the Ran, as we could understand, the Ran doesn't say like that. What does the Ran say? That even if you have schach, that's enough. Even if enough shade from the schach, still having a tree is a problem. So what's the Ran's condition? In order for things to work, what do you have to have? You saw the Ran? What do you have to have? You have to have a situation that even if you were going to remove all of the schach that was under the tree. Right, let's say we could live without the schach that's under the tree. You still have tzelsa meruba, then you're okay. So in other words, if you have...
Remove all the schach, you still have tzelsa meruba.
Right, so let's say if the tree is over a certain percentage of the schach, so how much do you need that schach? Let's say if you took away that schach, if you pretended that schach didn't exist, would you still have a kosher sukkah without it? Then, okay. Right, so this is a very different interpretation. Right, Tosfos is basically saying that a tree is pasul schach, and therefore, if you need it for your good schach, that's a problem. But the Ran is saying more than that. It's pasul schach, so therefore, it disintegrates everything beneath it. And if you need what's beneath it for your schach, that's a bigger chumrah, right? And that's more what we're used to talking about when we concern ourselves with trees nowadays, practical halacha, right? We're working off more of a perspective like the Ran. Now, is that the only way to see it? Well, halacha, we'll see. But nowadays, when we talk about this issue, we're coming more from that position. Harrison, you have a...
Is the Ran talking about the shade provided, like food, yeah, like... So the shade like from the stock versus the shade on the floor. Is there, I'm talking about the shade within the stock itself or like the lower shade?
Well, it sounds as that could go back to our previous discussion about the Rashi and Daf Beis, but right. So it seems like the problem is that the schach under the tree is no good. So then whatever corresponds to that schach is going to be a problem. So if we could,
the tree is providing shade. So,
but that doesn't seem to bother him. What seems to bother him is that the schach that is under the tree is essentially now.
Like move your sukkah away from the tree and take that schach away.
Yeah, but that would be okay then if you have majority shade without it. So this is a significant issue. This certainly makes things much more problematic. So it means that the schach that's under the tree, we see that as schach puzzle, and if you're going to have four tefachim across, then you're going to have a problem. So what's the din of Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions about this as a Yesh Omer. So the Bir Halacha, Mishnah Berurah comments in the Bir Halacha that normally when you have two Yesh Omerins in the Shulchan Aruch, the Halacha is like the second one. So therefore, one should be Machmir and assume like the Ram. But says Basha said Chak, so then we can be Mekel like Tosfos. So that's an interesting question, how exactly the trees impact us. This is a very, very practical issue, because this comes up in a lot of people's houses. So there's a couple of details that we still need to figure out. So first of all, where is the limit here? Is there a limit? How much impact Tosfos' position clearly is much more Mekel in terms of what it allows. It's also an interesting discussion of Poskim. I'll just mention quickly, I think we're going to get in a situation where we have to dive into the room again, but just to mention this point, that Tosfos discuss, there's a question that also comes up, what if the tree is really, 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 really high up? You know, is there any point at which it doesn't matter anymore? What if you're living in California and you have trees that are hundreds of feet up? So does it eventually become a non-issue? So many posts can hold that no. There are many posts can hold that the tree's on top, and that's going to cast the pole all the way down, no matter what. The Chuvus Eima Kalacha was more makel on this. The Becheskel Roth is known as the Kalsberger Roth, has a truth about this, where he's more makel. But that's a part of the Cheshvin here.
It's because also. The Yamas was a problem because of the tail. Wouldn't that excuse a tree being 20 miles or more?
So you said because then you're not getting the tail already. If you say that 20 Yamas, because the problem is there, what the Mishnah says about it more than 20 Yamas, or what the Gemara says, interpreting the Mishnah rather, is that the walls are providing the sail. The Gemara doesn't say that above 20 amos you can't get sail from something. It says that since the walls are so high, so the walls will be providing the sail as opposed to the staff. But theoretically, you could get sail from something that's higher than 20 amos.
What is both?
Sorry?
What is both?
But either way, so the objection, when the Gemara raises this point that at a certain point sail becomes a concern after 20 amos, I don't think the Gemara meant to say that Tzchach doesn't do it. It means that the walls do it. So the suggestion was that beyond 20 Amos, you're not getting sail from something, so you're not getting sail from the tree. I don't think that's what the Gemara is saying. Gemara is saying that you might be getting sail from space station, but you're also getting it from the walls, and that's what gets in the way. So this is a big machlokas practical halacha, that is there a height that the trees can be, that eventually it's acceptable, and that's most of the poskim had a hard time with that, but there is at least one day among the achronim that allows it. It's also a big question, which just to tie in some of our earlier stuff, so what if you do have a tree that is on top of your sukkah area? So what can you do about it? Can you cut down the tree? You cannot sit under if that works, if you have enough space, right? But let's say it's casting too much of a problem. So can you cut down the tree? So Jed doesn't think so. He's shaking his head. It depends, because cutting down trees has their own halachic issues. Presumably there's a prohibition about tashkas in cutting down a tree. And then there's a whole other element that the Gemara... So it's a big discussion. You'd be surprised. So that's where it ties in. So you'd be surprised, there's a whole discussion, because the Gemara says Baltashkas to cut down trees, and there's also, just to say a line about this, again, we'll definitely have to dive in here, but just to say a line about this, that the Gemara also implies there's a sakana involved in cutting down trees. So here's really a big Hasidish Misnagdish Machlokas, because many assume, or the Misnagdim seem to assume more, that, and it's more like a halacha Kabbalah machlokas a little bit also, that the sakana is connected to the avera. That if there's an avera of Baal Tashtas, then there's a sakana involved. But if the Baal Tashtas is dealt with, is mutter, then there's no sakana. That's the more kind of misnagdish, strict halacha approach. But others assume, there's an article about this in the New York Times a few years ago, about borough parking, trees in the middle of stores and things like this. If you Google for it, you find it. That the assumption is that, no, there is a problem with cutting down trees in and of itself. And that's where posts can talk about it. If you have an akum, do it. So you might say, well, who cares? The mice, you're destroying the tree one way or another. Who cares whether you do it yourself or you hire someone to do it? So this idea has to do with a notion that's more like Kabbalistic. It's based on the Gemara. The question how you read the Gemara, that there's a sakana involved in cutting down a tree. And therefore, even when it's mutter al pi halacha, you might still have problems. So your point about Litzorach, so the Taz and others assume that when it's Litzorach Adam, there's no Baal Tashchis, but not everyone is satisfied with that. So then it gets into that question also, so what if it's Tzorach Mitzvah? So is there a mitzvah in building a sukkah? We're saying, no, there's no mitzvah, so go eat someone else's sukkah, but it doesn't justify you cutting down a tree. So a lot of the discussion in Poskim about the mitzvah of building a sukkah is the intersection between these two, the question about tashkas and sukkah, and that's about trees. So the question of trees has all kinds of halachic implications. So we'll say more tomorrow about the questions of awnings. You should ask you a question, so we'll dive mincha here at this point. But so is it helping when we're trying to, is it most of the world is clear these concepts we're trying to talk about, Lubbud, and I know it's very daunting stuff from the Makarov's perspective because I'm trying to present it in somewhat of a basic conceptual way. Is that working? Are we still following? Okay, so we will eventually get through this. So tomorrow we'll start more about the issues of awnings and things like that, and which also will bring us back to Dofen Akuma and maybe a few more words about trees, and we'll see where we can go with that. All right, who would like to daven for us? Would like to have a volunteer? Jebediah, you're standing first. So.